Welcome back to another week of the AMB Podcast. It's your boy Young Tamarack, and we bring you that entertainment weekly. And I'm here with some good people because my people are never not good. Let them know what it is, Stare.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Stare, aka the finesse fella, aka Papa Stare, aka the big homie by the stairs. We chilling out here, man. Glad to be on the pod. Super glad to have this guest. I'm ready to get started.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm here with some good people because my people are never not good. And we got the homie Chancellor Agard in the building. And if you guys didn't know, there was a reference when I opened the podcast when I was like the Entertainment Weekly, because we do bring you Entertainment Weekly, but we're with somebody who works with Entertainment Weekly. So it just made sense.
That was clever. That was clever. I liked it.
Yeah. You know, I do what I can, you know,
it was funny.
Opportunity, you know, so punny, funny, you know, but yeah, man. So like I said, we're here with Chancellor, and he works with Entertainment Weekly. So we're definitely going to get into some TV talk on this episode. So if you are a TV watcher, this is definitely the episode for you to definitely check out. But without further ado, how's everybody been, man? What's going on?
Good. Just surviving.
Yeah.
Pretty finding much ways to stay entertained and not bored.
That's kind of wild from the TV, man. But I mean, I guess when you're in one place, you watch all the shows. So I mean, at a certain point, it's like, there's no more shows, but there's always more shows.
Yeah. There's always more. Yeah.
There's always more shows. Yeah.
It's like weird. Whenever I finish one thing, I'm just like, I don't know what to watch next. Even though like there's like a growing list of like old and new things that I need to watch, either because they're just like historically important, mm-hmm. or because they're like upcoming things that people are talking about. But at the same time, it always feels like there's nothing to watch. You know, again, as we said, there's so much to watch, too much to watch.
Yeah. Always.
Sounds about right. And if I could jump out with my week, my week's been pretty good. Got to christen my baby girl, Nami. So that
congrats.
Was pretty, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask how that went. I was pretty whacked by that time. So I'm not even going to lie. Because I woke up this morning and I saw this. I was like, a Zoom link? I was so shocked. I was like, damn, that's what it was for. Like, yeah, yeah. I was go ahead.
it was cool. Unfortunately, like you said, it was a Zoom link. We had like maybe five people in attendance, my mom, my dad, my stepmom. But also I have to give a big shout out to my stepmom because she just recently was elected bishop. She's the first black person / black woman to be elected to that position. So shouts to Miss Paula. Much love, much appreciated. Champion you. And just gearing up for the holiday season, you know, getting the last minute gifts. Like I said last pod, I was in New York, you know, was dropping off some presents up there to Kayla's family and, you know, down and back in 24 hours. So it's, you know, hopefully
Damn, you look really awake though, man. You look like you haven't lost any sleep at all. You look.
Nope. You're awake.
Nice. Well, I mean, always enjoying time with the family and being Santa Claus up and down the coast is definitely nice. So,
yeah.
Shout out to you. As for me, I didn't do anything super exciting except for like I said yesterday.
Bryce, I saw you dancing for 2 days straight. I don't want to hear that, man.
What do you mean?
You were dancing. And then you were like, what's up, man?
The dances all like come together. Like they all end up being like one big long dance in my head. So like I'd be I was at other places. Yeah. So of course I was at Conrad's birthday party. Shout out to Conrad. It was lit. It was cool. We definitely had a good time. We was fucking it up. We listened to some Rod Wave, which we shouldn't have because
I saw it at his speech. He got a little choked up. I said, oh
no. No, but it was a mixture of things. I think that contributed to that. So, I mean, it was actually, you know, it was actually like a nice thing to see, like to like that emotion be like invoked out of somebody. So like, it was cool. But and then like I said, you see someone dance for 2 days straight. Where'd you see me dance the second time?
I was gassed.
Oh, right. You know what? I'm tripping. I'm tripping. No, you're right. I'm tripping. I'm big tripping. I was with Joe and we were filming for a little project that's about to come out. I don't know how like in many details I can release of it, so I'm not gonna say too much, but like yeah, he's like doing a little bit of like work for like I wouldn't say work, but like he's like, you know, trying to get like more into like brands is what like from my perspective. Perspective is what it looks like. So but yeah, man, he's doing this thing. I was working with some some pretty dope photographers slash videographers. And yeah, man, it was nice. It was just like a knowledge exchange and, you know, just all around, just kind of like a dope time. And then, yeah, like I said, yesterday I linked up with my cousin who was coming from New York. I ain't seen him in a minute, like probably since I was like maybe like 7 or like,
oh, wow, 8.
Like it's been a while. Like,
I thought,
maybe middle school, but like, we like seen each other, bro. And it was just like, it was all love, bro. It was like, yo, like, this is crazy. Like,
okay.
I'm like, damn, I just wish like we would have been like really like tight while we was like both like growing up. So like we could like, you know, going through that phase like a little bit together. But either way, man, I was happy to see him. So, you know, we did it up. We got lit. We was drinking Incredible Hulks because I guess that's what like New York niggas do. I don't know. But like
Hypno and Henny. Yeah.
So like, yeah, it was crazy. It was lit though, but I had a good time. All in all though, like now I'm here. I got my coconut water on the episode.
Gotta rehydrate.
Yeah, man. So I had a pretty solid week, I guess. Damn, I feel like I went on a nice little rant there. That was probably the longest that I've gone on for my week.
Because you always be like, I ain't do nothing in my week. You know,
yes, bro. Like, I just be like, I don't know. I'll be moving. It's, but yeah, man. To take it from there, though, Alistair, can you hold us down with the top five for this week?
Top five.
Most definitely. So me being the childhood friend of Chancellor Agard that I am, I know all of the sides of Chancellor Agard. So one that I thought
I am sorry
top five is going to be top five Michael Jackson songs.
Oh God.
So yeah. So I need to hear your list. Yes, I'm definitely putting you on the spot. And does anybody want to go first?
I can go first. It's funny. It's been a minute since I've listened to him. Like, let's see.
Yeah, straight to mic order today, actually.
Okay, which in reverse order? Wait, which order do you want?
Doesn't matter. Just
okay. Number one, gonna go with They Don't Really Care About Us from History. Two, gonna go with I'm blanking now. Oh, two. This is a cheat. Two is Burn This Disco Down from Off the Wall.
Okay.
Three is gonna be Human Nature. Four is oh crap. Hold on, let's see. Four we're gonna go with Remember the Time.
Okay.
And five. What's five gonna be? This is hard. Hold on, I have to. Take a minute, ready?
It's always the toughest one.
Five. I'm gonna go with Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that wasn't your one, but you know, it's okay.
Honestly,
damn, okay.
For me, I'm gonna jump out of my list. I definitely have to put Billie Jean. Oop. I'm gonna put Beat It. Remember the Time. Man in the Mirror. And last, I got to put Bad.
Bad. Oh, so good.
Okay. So for my list, of course, Pretty Young Thing.
Damn. Okay.
I'm surprised that nobody said that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a song that I feel like, people like, I guess, but I like it a lot because of the Michael Jackson game. It's Ghost.
Dude, Ghost.
Ghost is crazy. Ghost is a crazy track. I was like, damn, why is he doing this? Like, but like, the Michael Jackson game really like that. Yeah. And then of course Smooth Criminal is on my list. Dirty Diana. I like Dirty Diana a lot.
That's a good one.
I got one more, I think. I like Butterflies.
Ooh.
Even though that's like later, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my list.
It's funny you mentioned Butterflies because like I have a distinct memory of like when Invincible came out and like listening to it at Alistair's home, like having that CD out like in his bed. In his bedroom.
That's taking it back. No, I definitely remember because that was one of Ashley's CDs that my dad actually let rock in his sound system. So
It's Michael Jackson. It's like, who's not going to let somebody play Michael Jackson, man?
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Like, you have no heart if you're like, turn that Michael Jackson off in my house. God damn it. I'd be like, whoa, dude, it's Mike Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a solid top five. But oh yeah, go ahead, Al. So I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, Chance, as I was alluding to, we go way back, childhood. I feel like once I started coming up with the idea of having a podcast, I always tried to pick people from my childhood that have like grown up to be like interesting characters or interesting people that have just achieved something that I would never have fathomed that they actually went on to accomplish. Being somebody who almost was in every industry or tried every single thing growing up, I just wanted to pick your brain on a lot of topics. So let's dive into your journey, Mr. Agar.
Again, I feel sorry that you've known me for so long and I've got like...
You said I feel sorry.
It's like, no, it's like, because I feel like, I don't know, like looking back as a child, I'm like, dude, I was such an annoying child. Like... Just like outside of just like, I don't know, just like, I mean, there's like the whole ADHD of it all, like the hyperactivity, then I was just like, I don't know, just like a general lack of self-awareness about most things.
That's most of us though. So
100%. So let's dive into the beginning. How do we start this? So on your journey, your mom made it like almost her point in life to put you in as many things as possible. Can you list for the public everything as a child that young Chancellor did?
Yeah, I think it was a combination. Also, my mother, who also has ADHD, I think both of us being very like restless, like I would just lose, I would get distracted with so many things. Off the top of my head, I remember I have like a brief memory flash doing gymnastics, soccer, got kicked off the team because I spent all the time dancing. I did basketball at one point. Singing and music had several subcategories: piano, drums, violin. Did not see other of them. I think saxophone is the one that stuck, and that's when I still play. Classical music, singing, opera singing, acting. What else? Horseback riding, karate, and taekwondo. I got my black belt at one point. You know, like I don't know. I'm not sure how I got my black belt, to be completely honest. God, am I missing anything? Those are the big ones from when I was a kid, or the activities that I did for like an relatively extended amount of time, to some extent. I think that, yeah.
And then in terms of what level, because I feel like you were kind of modest with some of like the singing and the opera. Like, what level did you actually reach?
All right, so basically, music was the big thing that stuck. I know that from like a young age, I loved music. I get it's mostly because of Michael Jackson. Hopefully, I need to turn this off. Okay, sorry, I was getting notifications. And I'll repeat that. So music was the thing that stuck. Because of Michael Jackson, and so I'd been begging my mom for voice lessons, and then she finally gave them to me as a birthday present for my 7th birthday. And so I
started. Damn, I didn't even know voice lessons existed when I when I was 7. Okay.
Well, because I think at that point I'd taken like piano lessons and like drum lessons.
Oh, well, yes,
and,
you were
like,
in that. You were
and
in that.
And so role. Yeah. I feel like had I not done that, I would have known that was a thing. I forgot about dance. I also danced at one point. Anyway. And so I started taking classical voice lessons and just sort of working on that and like doing a bunch of auditions in the local DC metropolitan area. And then at the time, I didn't realize what my training was giving me. I was being classically trained. And then so eventually when I got older, I like moved into like wanting to be an opera singer. And so I was part of the children's chorus in several operas with the Washington National Opera and at Wolf Trap out here in the D.C. metropolitan area. And at one point, that is what I wanted to do in school. Like I was like, I want to become an opera singer. So that's what... that was one of the things I pursued in college as well. It's, you know, I remember auditioning like in like the winter of 2010 when I was graduating. I like flying around a bunch of auditions, a bunch of colleges that had good music programs with the intention of studying opera and then also double majoring in something else that would work as a backup. And so I did go pretty far with it. Like I sang I stopped singing when I graduated college. Like, I had my senior recital, my senior year of college, and then like went on to do what I do now, basically. But yeah, so music was like the big thing. And within that, there's like a whole bunch of like acting as well, like doing musical theater, dancing, like on the weekends. Like, I would have like my voice lessons, and then I'd have to go to like dance class. I took like I studied jazz and tap. And then like on the weekdays, like I have like an acting coach come to the house like once a week, just like work on stuff. So yeah, it was a major part of my childhood and also like young adulthood as well. I stopped taking dance and acting, so I still kept singing again through college. Yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm. That's wild. Like, yeah, no, that's like, that's super structured and like in terms of like a way of growing up, because like you said, like you got pretty restless as like a kid.
Yeah.
And your mom was kind of like the same way, so like you guys kind of had like this real like I couldn't imagine ever being involved in that many activities. Like, even when I be doing stuff now, I'm just like, poof, like,
I mean,
it's a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's mostly props to my mother, because like she was a single mom, like, and not only was she working full time, but her version of getting bored, when she got bored, she was like, I guess I'm gonna go back to get my master's. I think by this point she already had it. So like she was like working full time, working on getting her master's degree and shuttling me around to all these activities and still managing to get like a full night's sleep and kill that work and all that. I've noted how she did it. And then also she also then got her PhD while doing all of this, again, as a single mother. Like she had help from my grandmother and like Alistair's parents, and like my parents, my friend Xavier and his parents. But like at the same time, it was mostly like 96% her just doing it all, which is still impressive.
Yeah.
Damn.
Shout out to moms. Dude. Her version of getting bored is, I'm gonna go get a master's.
Yeah, go get a master's and then go get her PhD.
Yeah. No, that's crazy lit.
It's funny. We were just talking about it today, because I can't remember how it came up. We were talking about how like, oh yeah, she got her PhD in like 2008. At that point, like I was in high school, she was still running me around places, like finding time to make it to class and like. And like class, like I remember, like she like had to like this, she like struggling with statistics, and she somehow found the time to like get a tutor for that too, while still being. I don't know. Anyway, this is more about her than me now, but it was anyway. So it's just
it's hey, like Miss Claire's the goat. So like, I don't even if she wants her own episode, she can come on the podcast.
But so you said you decided to go to school and I guess continue to like, you know, study like I guess classic singing. I don't know how to really classify. Yeah. So what school did you go to though?
So I went to Columbia, in New York. It's funny. So when I was like applying to school, the whole thing was I wanted to become an opera singer and eventually a conductor. And so I was like applying to schools with good opera, with good music programs. At the same time though, I also wanted to double major in something practical that I could fall back on in case the music didn't work out. Cause like, everyone wants to be a music star. I want to be an athlete, but like only a handful of people actually make it to that level to be able to do that professionally and sustain themselves. And so I wanted some sort of backup. So my double major was political science. And so I applied to a bunch of places. I applied to Columbia because they had a joint program with Juilliard. I did not get into the Juilliard program, but I got into Columbia and they gave me a bunch of money. And so it was like, okay, I guess I'll go there and like still study music through at Columbia. Then hopefully reapply for the junior program. And so at Columbia, my major was political science, and my concentration, which is like a minor but a bit more, was music. But it's essentially like double majoring though, because the music concentration required the same amount of credits as my political science major. It was stupid. And so anyway, so in school, I studied both that and I'm not sure what it was. I think just because, again, I started with music so early. By the time I got to college, I was kind of tired and sort of, I wouldn't say burned out, just sort of like I didn't love it as much anymore. I think I was just doing it because like I'd been doing it.
Yeah.
And so while there, I started like my political science interest sort of took on sort of precedence in a way. And so like during the summers, I interned on Capitol Hill for a couple congressmen the summers in between, the summer after my sophomore year and after my junior year. And the goal at that point was to sort of go to law school after college and come back to DC area and like work with the State Department or something. Cause my concentration, like my focus in my political science degree was international politics and relations. I guess that's another thing. I also learned how to speak French fluently as a kid because I was in a French immersion program. And then so that was the other thing too with like studying international politics, also like finding a way to have a reason to like use my French in a job at some point.
Yo, nigga, you James Bond low key. Like you on that type of shit is what I'm starting to realize. Like, yeah, this is think about it. Listen. Everything that he said, he's like, yeah, you know, I've been trained in this. I got a skill in this. I have a skill in this. It's very James Bond. Like, it's like, you're like Liam Neeson. Like you like have a very particular set of skills and like, you can do it all. Like that is like insane. Has anybody ever said that to you? No,
no, no.
I'm the first. I'm, good.
Yeah, right, no. Cool. Run I mean, with it. It's funny. Cause like, I mean, it, yeah, I have like all those skills, even though like, I've forgotten like 80% of them. Like remember at my birthday, this most recent one, which was I can't remember how my black belt came up, but I was like, yeah, I can do a flying sidekick. And so I tried to do it, but like I had socks on and it was on like hardwood, like smooth hardwood floor, and I just fell on my butt and I completely forgot. And then the next day I was like, wait, why does my side hurt so much? And then they're like, oh yeah, because you fell on your butt trying to do a flying sidekick. So a lot of these skills I've definitely forgotten. Like French, I can like still read it. Speaking it is very hard. I remember I'm not sure you guys watched the new show on Netflix called Emily in Paris. It's a terrible show. It's about like this American girl.
It's a terrible show.
It's about this American girl who like gets hired to go work in Paris. She's like, yeah, I'm gonna go to Paris without knowing any of the language, and it'll be fine. And like half the show is just like these French people like making fun of her. And I'm just like, wow, it made me feel bad for like letting my French slip. I was like, I never want to be in that position. But anyway, I got off track. I can't remember what your question was.
I wasn't really much of it. It was like an observation slap question. Yes. But I was just like, yeah, like you're like the black James Bond. Like you like have all these, like you just
got all these skills, man.
So Chance, how'd you go from political science, chasing the law school dream, into stepping into writing?
Yeah, that's weird. So in college, I started working for a college newspaper because I always liked computers and stuff. I liked being creative on computers. And it's like using like GarageBand to make music or like using like Final Cut to like make movies or whatever. And so the newspaper seemed cool. I don't know. And also, like, I love superheroes. I was like, hey, what if I work at a newspaper like Clark Kent? That'd be cool. That'd be dope. and so I started working there. And so I got a job on the design team, which is sort of like the basically because we were a daily newspaper. It was my job to like design the newspaper every day, or not every day. I did it once a week. And at the same time, as Ali can tell you, or Alistair can tell you, I have always liked TV. Like that's been like another thing, like very into television, very into movies. Like remember I used to go over to his house to watch Power Rangers because my mother wouldn't let me watch Power Rangers
every single season.
So like I've always been into TV and stuff, and that love continued into college. And so one of my friends, one of my best friends, was the head of the arts and entertainment section. And so when her tenure in that role was over and the new people were coming in, they were looking for a TV critic, and they were like, and because we'd spent so many nights just like talking about TV, she was like, you guys should get Chancellor to become your new TV critic. And they reached out to me and I was like, oh, I guess so. Yeah, why not? And so I did it and liked it. And so, I started writing TV reviews, I guess, my junior year of college. And so by that point, losses on the horizon. So end of junior year, that summer, I went back to work on Capitol Hill. And then I was like, okay, I need to find like one fun internship to do in my senior year of college before I have to like go to law school. And so I applied and got this job on the culture section at the Daily Beast, And but then that ended up sort of taking up a lot of my like free time senior year, like the fall senior year, to the point where like, I just didn't have time to like study for the LSAT. And so, and I also had a lot of fun writing there. Like I had, like, I got a chance to like actually like write about things I actually like cared about. Like it wasn't like grunt work. Like I got, like I wrote TV reviews for like The Good Wife, which is one of my favorite shows, or like did like wrote articles about Psych on USA and The Vampire Diaries and all this stuff. And like, they trusted me to do a lot. Even though, again, that was my first like professional writing gig outside of writing for my college newspaper.
Yeah.
And so come like December senior year, again, as someone who, by that point, my anxiety, I developed anxiety about stuff. And so let me put it this way. After years of always having a plan, getting to like December of my senior year and like not knowing what was going to happen after I graduated, because I knew that at that point, like, oh, there's no way I can take the LSAT and like get a good score and apply to a law school. And so on a whim, I just applied to Columbia's journalism school, because it just so happened, like, I will say I started asking for recommendations just in case I wanted to do it. Like, I have those banked, but like, I didn't decide to apply until like right around Christmas, right before New Year's that year. And in a normal year, the application deadline for Columbia's journalism school, would have been closed by then. For some reason, I don't know why, it had been extended that year. And so like, I like cobbled my application together, submitted it, and applied to that. And then I got into the master's program, to get my, which took a load off mine. Okay, no matter what, I know that I will be back at Columbia getting my master's in the fall. And I can just figure out what to do between graduation and that. And so then I guess the other thing I should mention is how, like, I guess my freshman year of high school, like, a friend's sister was like selling like magazine subscriptions for like Girl Scouts or something. I don't know. My mom just like threw her a bone and like got like Entertainment Weekly because she thought I'd like it. Spoiler alert, I did like it. I loved it. And so my senior year of college, they had an internship open. And so I applied, not thinking I'd get it. And like, and I got the internship. And I remember like, I remember like going to the office for the first time for my interview and just like being in awe. And then, cause I had two interviews on the print side and on the digital side. And I remember like in my print interview, I was talking about how much I love this writer, Darren Franich, who covered like all the geeky stuff, was a fantastic writer. And then literally they're like, okay, I'm going to take you over for your digital interview for the website. And it's and he's one of the people who interviewed me, which was like a weird moment. It's like I was starstruck, which is weird to say about like a journalist. And then flash forward to now, he's like one of my close friends at work now, which is really cool. Anyway, and so I got the internship. So I got the internship at Entertainment Weekly, which that sort of changed my life and like made me realize like this is what I wanted to do. Like that summer too, I got to write so much for the website, cover things I wanted to, sort of understand how the industry worked. And then it's funny, one of the people there, she was like head of the fact checking department, was like, because I was like, I am only here for 3 months because, I'm going to grad school. Cause like, I realized I only know how to write reviews and I need to like go learn how to like report, how to do interviews. And she made the point. She's like, yeah, but like, couldn't you just like learn that on the job instead? And in hindsight, she was right. She was right. And I could have saved myself $60,000. But I went to grad school and it was a year long program intensive. And then after that, after that year, I got an internship at People Magazine and at the same time kept freelancing for EW while I was in grad school and afterward. And then while I was at People, I freelanced for EW, which is like in the same parent company as People Magazine. And I also freelance for Vulture.com, which is on my New York Magazine, Mashable, and also the Daily Beast. And then after a year at People Magazine, which is an experience, I then a position opened at Entertainment Weekly, a full-time position opened up, and there I applied and got it. And so that's where I've been for the past 4 years. It'll be 4 years Wait, no, it was just 4 years last June, so it'll be 5 years this coming June, mm-hmm. June 2021.
Damn, that's pretty lit. I don't really know anybody who like writes reviews, but yeah, she was definitely right about the last thing you were saying. You definitely could have learned the interviewing and all that on the job, man.
No,
but,
yeah.
I mean, realistically, you don't really know until like you go through it, then it's just like, ah, okay, well.
Yeah, it's right. Like, yeah, but the thing also, because I feel like education is so important to like Guyanese culture, and especially for my mom. And so I like for like, no matter what, I always knew that like I was going to go to college. And so like for me, that's like mm-hmm. the best way in my mind, sort of by nature, like the best way to get expertise is to go to school to learn it, you know? And so it never just like the idea of just like getting a job and learning on the job just seemed sort of like that could not compute in my head. Mm-hmm. Even though, again, as we just said, like at hindsight, she was very right. Like also, I think I would have probably ended up at EW sooner, you know, because I think I would have, there's a good chance they would have kept me on when my internship ended. But it worked out, I guess.
So how much like research / just watching TV and movies do you do like weekly for your job?
It's a lot. It's funny. Ironically, so I remember in college, I did the math once. And if every show I watched was on the air at the same time, I think it was going to take me 100 hours. But that number has sort of decreased as I've done this job more, just in the sense of like, now what I watch, either stuff that I genuinely enjoy or that I've been assigned to cover for work. I remember back in college and like, right after college, like, there are things I would watch just because I felt like I had to watch because people were like talking about them or they were new. And I said like, now I've been able to sort of specialize a bit and sort of narrow things down to like what I care about and what I have and for things, but a lot of it's like things I care about now. And there are very few things I watch for work that I don't like. But to answer your question, I don't know. I watch. Oh God, I couldn't calculate that. It would be very hard for me to calculate how much TV I watch a week for work. I will say it's a lot. I will say I do spend a lot of my free time like watching TV or movies.
It's gotta be.
You can do it. I ain't tripping off that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I will say it helps though, because like it's still something like I still like watching TV. Like I think it doesn't feel like. I mean, there are days where it feels like a chore. Like it's something where it's like a show that I just don't care. Like I'm not passionate about. And then it's like, oh, I have to go catch up on this before I do this interview. But for the most part, it's like stuff I love. I mean, these days, just on average, I think I can say at least like. 5 hours, at least like 6 hours a week, maybe, at least just in terms of like this, like, so like my main beat at work, like my area of focus right now is sort of like the superhero shows. And so I cover like all the Arrowverse shows on the CW, like The Flash, Supergirl, Black Lightning, Batwoman, all that. And also cover stuff. And then like, so that's like there, I think they have 5 shows now. So that's like 5 hours there. Plus like stuff like Evil on CBS, fantastic show that everyone should watch. Good Fight. Those are weekly shows that air weekly. That's another 2 hours. I'm sure there's other stuff I'm blanking on right now. But it's to answer your question, a lot of time is spent watching TV for work. But then also, like, I also make sure to, like, especially during the pandemic, I'm always binge watching something at night. Just something that either like re-watching something so I could, like, something that's sort of easy to fall asleep to, or watching an old show that is sort of that doesn't require all my attention that I want to catch up on. So during the pandemic, I started watching Alias for the first time, starring Jennifer Garner, which was like a big show at the early aughts. And that's something I would watch nightly and sort of fall asleep to. Just because it was like something that was like really big that I missed out on that I thought like would be cool to watch. And the show that sounded like, had I known it was on the air when it was on, I probably would have watched it. Or like right now I'm binge watching Smallville, which I've watched. I can't tell you how many times. And so I'm almost done with that binge. So it's a very much a balance and a balancing act of things of like work stuff and stuff for pleasure. I guess one of the examples that my roommate who watches stuff sporadically with me, like if I'm in the living room watching something, she'll come sit with me and watch it. And so she got into The Good Fight, which is this lawyer show on CBS All Access, one of my all-time favorite shows on TV right now. And it's a spinoff of The Good Wife, on CBS, if you've heard of it, starring like Julia Margulies. And so my roommate would watch The Good Fight with me, and she really liked it. The show, by the way, is fantastic. It's like the one show that really captures what it's like to have lived through the Trump era. It's about Christine Baranski, this white woman lawyer who her career sort of goes downhill after she gets involved in this, after like someone steals all her money right as she's about to retire. And so the only firm that'll sort of hire her is this historically black firm. So she goes to work there, and it's just this show that it's about this firm that's sort of like figuring out like what their place is in Trump's America, in the sense of like how to survive at a time when sort of all the rules and sort of institutions we thought would save us aren't doing their jobs, and sort of the sort of mental strain of that. It is so good. It's a good show. Like they did, it's a really fun show. Anyway, so she would watch it with me, and then I was like, well, if you like this, we should just watch The Good Wife. Which came before it. And so we would, so basically every night for like 2 months, 3 months, we would like, I would cook dinner, we'd sit on the couch, and we just watched The Good Wife for like 3 hours. And we started from the beginning and went straight through for like the first 3 months of pandemic. And we deal with a lot of stuff now. So it's a lot. So basically, to answer your question, wow, this is such a long way to answer, I'm so sorry. A lot of television watching gets done.
Yeah. So is there like a specific like shows that you do cover, or like are you guys dedicated to like a particular network or a series of networks?
No, so we try to cover as much as possible. I think these days though, EW, we're starting to sort of focus in on stuff that our audience likes and will actually click on and read. So it's like we aren't going to cover like we aren't going to put as much effort into covering NCIS as we will like Game of Thrones, because like Game of Thrones, the biggest show on television, we're gonna cover the shit out of that.
Yeah,
that's what people want to read. Mm-hmm. Or like for my beat, so like the fandom surrounding all the CW's Arrowverse shows, The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, Legend of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, Batwoman, they're all very passionate. So most of my time is spent creating, writing stuff, and covering those shows in depth, because that's what the fans crave. They want to read interviews with the stars. They want to watch sneak peeks of the next episode. They want to read a postmortem with the showrunner explaining why they did this twist and what's coming next. So while we try to be as broad as possible, it's also a matter of figuring out a way to do that that's smart. It's being smart about it. You know, again, spending time on things that people actually want to read. Because I think, as we've seen, like there's so many sites these days that are like going under, getting bought, getting sold. The media industry is so unstable. So we're trying to position ourselves to as best as possible. And so we aren't, I mean, again, then because we are still a journalistic entity, like we aren't affiliated with any sort of network or anything. It's really what we think is worth covering, what people want to read about, what we think is worth people reading about. It's these days, it's a balancing act between what people want to read and also what we think they should be invested in. So it's like, a show like The Americans on FX, which starred Matthew Rhys and Kerry Russell as these two Russian spies who were sent to America and pretend to be American. Like they were sort of sleeper agents for the Soviet Union in the 80s. And a show like that, while it doesn't have massive viewership, it was still a fantastic show that we all thought was worth covering because it was so good. And so we put a bit more effort behind it because we were passionate about it and thought that it deserved that, you know? So it's like finding that sort of balance between, again, what people want to read, what we think they should read, what is good, what is worth promoting and being and supportive of, and stuff that it, what isn't, you know? And so on my end, again, in addition to like superhero shows, I also cover like, I cover a bunch of random stuff. Like I do cover, as one of the few black writers at EW, I do cover some like a lot of black shows too, like Atlanta. Like Atlanta's my favorite show on television. I remember, and like my coworkers tease me. because I came into my job interview for my job, like, already pitching Atlanta. They're like, so what have you been watching these days? I was like, and this was like, this was before it premiered, but I was like, I just watched the screen for the Atlanta pilot, and I am obsessed. And like, my first like big assignment when I got hired full time was writing a profile on Donald Glover for our fall TV preview issue. And so it's stuff like that, like another show that like a show that like may not do gangbusters traffic wise, but is so good. And that like, we're going to cover the shit out of it because like Donald Glover is making one of the best shows on television. Like, we need to write about it and cover it because like, it's worth covering and worth sort of shining a light on, and hopefully getting more people to watch it, you know? So, and then also stuff like, I think generally my beat at work generally falls into like geeky nerdy stuff, really, if I have to narrow it down, geeky nerdy stuff. And then like the random sort of really good broadcast show here and there. And some, yeah. I do cover some like premium cable stuff, but like, yeah, it's mostly geeky stuff. And then things that I'm personally invested, like the random things that I want to write about that I get really, really obsessed with.
Yeah. So question though, I mean, you do write reviews, you write about shows, and there are definitely shows that you don't like. And I'm sure that when there's a show you don't like, you usually, I'm sure you're honest and you express that. In any point in time, have you ever had to like, have you ever gotten like heat from like anybody like who like you're writing about, or actors or producers or directors who've been like, yo, like, why don't you like my show? Or like, why are you hating on my show or anything like that?
Yes. So I will clarify. So I don't write as many reviews as I used to now. I'm mostly more of a reporter, so I do a lot of interviewing. Anyway, but I do review stuff. I do recap stuff. The only one that sticks out of my mind is I was recapping State of Affairs. It was like this NBC show starring Katherine Heigl from like 2015, and I hated it. And the showrunner of it, Joe Carnahan, like sarcastically tweeted at me when my recaps went out. But like, I don't know, I didn't have to, like, at that point I was a freelancer for EW, like I didn't have to do anything. Like, that was just like, okay, like, I mean, he didn't like it. I didn't like it. I'm sorry. I mean, and also like, it wasn't my place to like respond to that or anything. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I really try not to sort of. I've made it because I think the internet, especially for the stuff I cover, like, and fans can be very passionate. I very try not to get too invested in like the reaction to stuff, really. Just because like that's, you spend. Once you do that, you just go down this rabbit hole, and that just sort of consumed you. So I just, like, I really, like, once something goes up, I don't read the comments. I rarely read replies, really, on Twitter. I like replies from people I don't follow. And so I think that one recap of State of Affairs, like the one time where like a creator like called me out on it. Other times, I don't think I can't think of another instance where that's happened. But I know like other writers have experienced that, sort of when EW has given something a negative review and the people involved have sort of gotten upset about it. It's like, okay, well, I don't know. We don't know what to tell you. Our reviewer thought it wasn't good. That's his opinion. Sorry, I guess. I don't know. Like, okay. It is what it is.
Speak on your opinion, Chance.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, give me an overrated show.
Oh, overrated show. The Walking Dead.
I can agree with that, actually.
I mean, I do think The Walking Dead, I think the hype around The Walking Dead has started to decrease. Like, it's not as, but I remember,
I feel like it started so high and it was actually good.
Early on, it was good.
I don't think here's a show. House of Cards, I thought was overrated. Like, outside of the whole Kevin Spacey of it all, but I think that show thought it was smarter than it was. I think the show, like, we all thought it was like a prestige-y, like really well done. It's like, no, they just have a lot of money. That's, it looks good, but it doesn't have anything to say, you know.
All right. Yeah. So I feel like I got like two more questions.
Yeah.
One, because we spoke off mic and we talked about your radio show, how do you feel like overcoming your speech impediment? growing up? Like, where did that?
Oh, you're like Joe Biden.
I mean, I don't think I'm overcoming. Like, I still stutter pretty. I don't, not frequently, but like it happens. I guess now I stopped. I don't get embarrassed by it. I'm like, if it happens, I stop and I just start again. You know, I don't. It hasn't been a. It hasn't been that big of an issue, really. I think also when I'm like quote unquote performing or like doing these types of things, I stutter way less. I feel like I know. I feel like I'm not talking like the same way I usually talk when I do things like or not like this. Like when I, so the radio show I host or I co-host is called Superhero Insider, and so one of my co-hosts Kyle Anderson, like he's the main host. He does all the intros, the outros, the segueing between different segments. Like he's a pro at that. He like, I don't know how he does it. He does it naturally too. And so, but he was out on paternity leave for several months at the beginning of the year. And so, but Sirius wanted us to keep doing our show. And so I brought on a new co-host to do it with me while he was gone. But then it became on, then it fell on me to sort of do all the sort of intros and outros and like segues and all that to keep the conversation moving and like being just like a sort of charismatic person on the air. And I think the stuttering, the speech impediment didn't come up as much as I thought I would. I think it's sort of in my mind, so kind of, it's like sort of using a different muscle, I think, like,
yeah.
But again, as to answer your question more succinctly, sorry. It's been, I mean, cause I did go through speech therapy when I was younger in school. But I think I was just like, I didn't care enough to actually like keep up the sort of all the sort of exercise they gave me to manage it. So I never fully got over the stuttering. But at this point, it's sort of like I've sort of like accepted it as part of like who I am, I guess. So it's just like when I get excited, I start stuttering and it'll stop after a few minutes, I guess, or I'll stop and like start again. So, yeah, I mean, it's. Again, I don't feel as self-conscious as I probably used to when I was a kid. Even though, like, I'm in my mind, I don't remember feeling self-conscious about it, but I'm sure I probably, like, I had to have been. Like, there's no way I would have not have been, like, anxious about it, I feel like.
And my last question, what are your expectations for Robert Pattinson as Batman?
Robert Pattinson, in the same way, like, Kristen Stewart, like, they are, like, They start with Twilight, but like they are both fantastic actors. So I am reserving judgment. I'm going into it with an open mind, you know, like because like we've been surprised before, you know, like yeah. Like people. I'm trying to think of examples. Like I almost like every Arrowverse actor, you know, like Brandon Routh, you know, instead of like or not Brandon Routh, like Stephen Amell when he was cast as Green Arrow, there were people who were like him really, and it's like he was fantastic in the role, and so like. We've been surprised enough times by all these performers taking on these like huge superhero roles. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go into an open mind and allow myself to be surprised and impressed. I'm not gonna go into any judgment. I wish I could say the same thing about the Snyder Cut. I am not looking forward to that. Yeah. So I'm optimistic. The trailer. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. And I guess to wrap up our episode, I'll bring up this is that. Okay. We usually only do it with Bryce, but this week we're going to have Chancellor do it because
he's... No pressure on me this week, thank God.
TV expert. So, okay. Chancellor, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. This or that, who played it better? Their role in particular. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man or Hugh Jackman as Wolverine? Just pick one.
RDJ.
Okay. Better show, The Arrow or Flash?
Oh, God damn you. Oh, God. Arrow.
Yeah.
Community or Arrested Development?
Community.
Okay. Better sidekick, Richie from Static Shock or Bucky Barnes?
Richie.
Really? Oh, that was
Richie was never mind controlled by the Russians and never became an assassin. That's also, true. Weirdly, I just watched Static Shock like 2 weeks ago for work. Anyway,
next question.
Wait, Static Shock for work?
Yeah, just for like our radio show because like there are no new superhero movies or TV shows out, So like yeah. every week we have to like come up with something to cover. And so
yeah, yeah.
we were going through the DC animated shows. We like the last one we did was Static Shock.
Nice. I love Static Shock. Great show.
Got two more.
Okay.
Who has better doctors, House or Grey's Anatomy?
House.
House, dude. Yeah.
Okay. And better boss, Michael Scott or Leslie Knope?
Leslie Knope.
Really?
Michael Scott. Okay, Michael Scott.
Michael Scott's a great boss. I don't know about you.
No, okay, Michael Scott. Okay.
That's who I want to work for.
He's a terrible boss. He's a terrible boss. Means well, but
dude, I think it's just like I think that's part of the problem with The Office is sort of like we all forget like the show was on for so long that like and like with any show like with any show that character like Michael Scott like eventually they start like sanding down the edges and it's like but actually he's like kind of lovable and it's like I think like the show got to that point it's like no like just objectively like Michael Scott should have been fired ages ago for any but number
the most profitable branch so you couldn't fire
exactly come on. And that's what we call capitalism and that's why it's sweet that's why we should bring the system down
yeah now I'm with you because man he did some wild things
dude Scott's tots come on son
yeah yeah no that was hilarious. Hey, Michael Scott, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Make a dreams come true. And they're like, yo, they open up the gym door, bro, and like the kids are going, they're going crazy. They got the song and everything, bro. And they're like, man, I felt so bad. I mean, I knew it was a show, but like watching it, I felt so bad.
It's so cringeworthy.
I was like, this is awful. Like, I can't believe he did this. I can't believe it.
I can't watch that episode. Goodness. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad.
But yes, Leslie Knope, though. Yes, that's for best boss.
I feel like she micromanages too much, and she's going to do your work for you.
Hey, you know, that's fine.
That ain't so bad. That ain't so bad. The micromanaging, not so much, but doing your work for you. Super lit. But
this is that.
Dude, thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, no, we definitely appreciate you coming.
I'm sorry for rambling.
No, you're good. I mean, the episode was about you. So I mean, if you didn't ramble, we kind of be short. So yeah, but so is there anything that you wanna leave the people with or you wanna say or anybody wanna shout out
before we leave the people with yes, go watch Evil on CBS. It's the first season's available on Netflix right now. It's one of my favorite shows on television. And yeah, it's a great show. Also, if you have not watched Atlanta, both seasons are on Hulu. Go watch that too, because that's also the best show on television at the moment.
Yeah, Atlanta is a great show. I don't know if they're gonna bring it back. I mean, but
oh, they are.
They're talking about it, but
yeah. The goal is to shoot both seasons 3 and 4 back to back next year.
Damn.
So
hopefully they do it. I hope they do. But all right, cool. Alistair, man, do you want to hit the people up with your Stairs to Greatness?
Absolutely. This week's Stairs to Greatness, always try to catch and enjoy the moment of life. You can follow me on Instagram, Stairs to Greatness. Stairs to Greatness. Make sure you follow our podcast page, AMB Period Podcast. Chance, it was great catching up with you. It was great having you on. I'm so glad we can share our platform with you, my friend.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for having me again. So this is really fun.
And as I always say, thanks for the support, fans, and everyone who's listening. We're not going nowhere without you. We are the vehicle, but you guys are the wheels. Can't go anywhere without your wheels. So, throw to you, co-host.
Yeah, man. As always, I have nothing profound to say except for this. Don't do podcast episodes hungover. I've done this before on other episodes. And I just haven't seemed to learn my lesson, honestly. And I don't know what's going on. But, nah, man, that's pretty much it. Those are the wise words that I got for everybody. But yeah, you can follow me on social media, Young Tamarack, YoungTamarack, on Twitter. And then on Instagram, it's Kofi Bryce, KOFIBRYCE _. And with that being said, another birthday shout out again to the homie Rad. Yeah, man, live it up. Keep doing the work that you're doing, bro. You're going to be a star. But yeah, and with that being said, we're going to play some music from a local artist to wrap up the show. And this week you're going to hear some music from the homie Black Row, What Is Life? This has been another week of the AMB podcast. This has been another week of the AMB podcast. This has been another week of the AMB podcast. Thank you for listening. Peace.
What is life, nigga? I had to wake up and realize what was life, nigga. This what life get you. What is life, nigga? I had to wake up and realize what was life, nigga. This what life get you. My pill been going through a hard time. I lost my pops when I was 24. Ain't seen him smile since I was 13. And that's what really kills me slow. It's hard to really find hope with it. Really hard to keep faith too. But when this pain try to take over, clan life, we on a takeover. For all the shit them people owe me, I gotta get it like the rent due. Chase a bag, nigga. Don't be mad, nigga. Get a bag with it. Hey, I'm on the road to get the riches now. I was last, nigga. He used to laugh, nigga. I'm in a whole different mind space. People foul, committing foul play. Reasons why I move my own way. Reasons why I'm with the same folks. The new nigga spreading fake hope. I couldn't even get in tune with it. All they do is watch and then assume. Nigga better learn something like a school nigga. Still broke it down right in school with it. I had to make it all worth something. How you claim it's yours, you ain't earned nothing. I was making double on my last, nigga. You still worried about the next man. My main focus been a meal ticket. Still breaking bread with my kin folks. I could never leave my kin folks. Don't never place me in a box, nigga. I'm living free how I wanna be. Making sacrifices just to do better. I wish pops he could see this. With all this pain, watch me build something. I got your back, just keep it real with me. All that fake shit, I just can't deal with it.
I just can't deal with it.
What is life, nigga? I had to wake up and realize what was life, nigga. This what life get you. What is life, nigga? I had to wake up and realize what was life, nigga. This what life get you. What is life, nigga? I had to wake up and realize what was life, nigga. This what life get you. What is life, nigga? I had to wake up and realize what was life, nigga. This what life get you.